Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
All right, I hope you are all settled down on your new island in Animal Crossing. As for me, I'm just making myself comfortable, getting ready for the oncoming hermit lifestyle that has seemed to doom us all in the next two coming weeks.
Will, the game doesn't come out till tomorrow.
Well, by the time of this recording, once this thing comes out, it will be out by three hours.
Now, Will, come on. You know as well as I that our dedicated fan base listens to this podcast at 9 a.m. every Friday. And so that they haven't even had the time to go to the stores.
Unless they are having on digital copy. Hello.
Oh, come on. Who believes in digital gaming anymore? Come on.
What about review copies?
What? Okay, you got me there. You got me on review copies.
Stores breaking store dates.
Yeah, as you can hear, we have a special guest with us. Tyler is out with his father on his birthday, which probably means they're just celebrating inside. And so here we have a King Koopa Keith.
I'm just a substitute once again, but I don't mind. What's up, everybody?
Ceiling.
I'm getting off the bench.
And I just want to say right now, Tyler's dad, if you're listening to him right now, happy birthday to you. And also, can you teach your son that money can buy him love? Please, can you teach him that?
Yeah. Can't buy me love.
I know some people that would disagree with you, Will, but we won't go into that.
Also, tell your son it's Mario, not Mario. All right? I mean, you had two jobs, Mr. Kelbot, and you failed. You failed. It's just sad. So sad. All right, well, before we start, we do, of course, want to wish everybody, a safe time during everything that's going on with coronavirus and everything. We lightly touched upon it last week when it was just starting, and now it's been a week, and things only look to get more crazy and weird. So we hope that this podcast is, giving you a little bit of enjoyment, because that's why we do this podcast, to have fun and enjoyment with you as we talk Nintendo and everything in between. So we're going to continue to do that tonight as we start off with, what have you been playing? Not much. Sadly, I can honestly say, gentlemen, I am the 1%. I am the 1% of people who still has a regular job that has not been affected by this coronavirus. I work from home naturally. Writing for various things, and so I'm actually doing okay, which actually makes me feel a little bit guilty. I do apologize. So, but because my work has been so much, I honestly haven't played anything outside of Fire Emblem Heroes. But that's fine. I'm glad I have work, because I'm definitely, hopefully, potentially going to try and play Pokemon this week, and then I still got to get into Fire Emblem Cindered Shadows, because I got the DLC, but I haven't played it yet. I just haven't had the time. So, thankfully, Tyler already reviewed that. Still waiting on his Celeste review, though. Anyway.
Yeah, where is that?
Yeah. So, it's been slow, but I have been enjoying things. And we got that new spring Fire Emblem Heroes banner. Just so weird, because I like the Fae Idun, or Idun, or however you say her name.
Fae Idun, yeah.
Yeah, Idun combo. But then you have Narcian. I mean, I'm like, there's no way Narcian would go with this. I'm sorry. He wouldn't. Okay?
Well, I don't know. Like, again, this is an all-AU shirt. Canon-wise, they probably wouldn't call him dead wearing a bunny outfit. But again, this is the weird word. This is the fan service universe, so
it's canon in our hearts. It's canon in our hearts.
And I just want to point out right now, in the combos, he actually calls you ugly. Literally. Yeah. I'm not kidding.
I believe it. It's Narcian. Anyway, but I'm hoping to play some more games this weekend, and then hopefully all of you are getting ready for your Animal Crossing adventures on your New Horizons. So, I know you guys don't like puns, and I feel like I'm trapped on an island here, but
speaking of Animal Crossing New Horizons, I actually got a hold of one of the Nintendo Switches. I actually pre-ordered it a while ago, and I actually sold it.
You got it and you sold it?
I sold it to a guy who was looking for one for a long time. I sold it to him for the same price I bought it. I already have a Nintendo Switch, and as you guys know, I just got mine back from Nintendo, so I pretty much have a brand new Switch.
There you go.
Didn't you say you were going to give one to your kid or something?
My son has a Switch.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was like, you know what, you're looking for one, I'll sell you mine. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, it looked nice, but I mean, honestly, between me and you guys, it was just the Joy-Cons and the dock. I mean, how many times are you gonna look at the back of your Switch? It's a nice. It was a nice system. It was, but it wasn't like, oh my god, I need to keep this.
No, but it's like you are forgetting the law of Gecko. All right, Gordon goes Greco. Gecko? Gordon Greco?
Well, I have no idea who you're referring to, but continue.
greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed works. It's Gordon Gecko. That was it.
That's against my core principles. My role model was Captain America. Sorry.
Captain America stole cars.
But he put it back.
Eventually.
And he told you to take his feet off the dash.
Two wrongs don't make a right. And I'm actually not referring to the MCU, but that's beside the point. So, Will knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, but you had the opportunity, man. You could have made serious dineros.
Nah, I don't do that. I'm firmly against people doing that on eBay. I hate it. So I wouldn't do that. That's just not cool.
Fine. But
I think it's noble of you. It's definitely noble of our boss to set the example for the rest of the staff. So yeah.
I just hope the guy gets it before all hell breaks loose.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
So. Right, and I think last I checked, because I'm not sure anyone saw this on Amazon. Apparently, they had like a water bottle or like a metal water can with Animal Crossing design, and that reached up to like $2,000, or is it $30,000?
It was up there. It was crazy. I saw that. It was like, wow. It was like $9 and $12, and then it went up there. I don't know why. Let me see if I can find that.
It's just absolutely crazy.
$13,000. It went up for $13,000. What in the world? Why would I need a water bottle that costs as much as a car, an apartment for a year, a really nice, actually five really nice TVs? Yeah, it's no. No thanks.
I do wonder, regarding to the fans, like, okay, I get it's Animal Crossing and you're very thirsty for it, but
it's back down to $19 though. So if you want,
now we're good. But I guess, like, and for the sake of moving on, for me, I've also been playing Faye and actually managed to get the duel here of Faye and Eden. And let us say the convo, because the only thing once you tap them is like it's just a one line voicing, but then after that, there's the entire duel conversation with Faye and Eden, which is a nice little cheery bunny thing and about smiling. It's nice. And actually, also today as well, Todd, like, I'm not sure you saw the brief attempt for three houses banner again. I actually finally managed to pull a Claude. Yeah, my first summon. Like, finally, I have all three. Now I just need female bylift. So, yeah, I just need one more to finish the three heroes main banner.
I've got all four. Same.
Yes, bragger.
Rub it in his face. Go ahead. I am going to.
This is my revenge, because when I know you weren't around in the earlier days, Keith, when we did the podcast, but they had the best luck in heroes, like summoning wise. It took me like forever to get my first 5-star when they already had like 10, and then I get like these banners where I'll get like all 4 or 3 5-star characters like in a short amount of time, and they'll get nothing, and I rub it in their faces. It's glorious revenge, because I am petty.
Just how many hours are you currently stockpiling right now?
Right now, I'm over 260.
260. Come on, get to my level. I got 400. Yeah.
Oh, see, Will, I was trying to help you guys. Now you're rubbing stuff back in his face. He's going to come right back at you.
Go ahead. I'm comfortable in my orbness, and I'm sure that the next banner, you will blow through it all, Will, and I won't have to. So, ha.
We shall see. But also, like, the main game I actually have been playing, aside from, like, Overwatch, was the new events. And gotta say, the challenges, like, the recent, altered rules of challenges, like, for example, you only could harm enemies by doing headshots. That thing was tough on Overwatch. I managed to do it, but it's definitely a tough challenge. So, yeah, I've been playing Overwatch, getting the new skins, all that. Yeah, pretty nice. But mostly I have been playing is Nioh 2, which this game pretty much sucked me back in. I loved the first Nioh. I'm now back in it with my own character. I'm currently in the third chapter. Yeah, just recently reached the third chapter with, after the battle of Yoshi, Imagawa, Shimoto Imagawa. And it's just like, again, if you love your Japanese feudal lore, then this thing is totally for you. Like, with a little bit of Onimusha style. And if you are familiar with the first game, this pays so much a reference to that game. Like, you find out what's going on before the times, during the war era. And yeah, this just gets your Japanese feudal buff. It really scratches the edge of your. If you love Sekiro, then you're probably gonna like this game as well. So overall, yeah, Nioh 2, definitely great. I love those customs. I love yokais. It's just, and also just, it also has moments of, it just simply has a lot of fun with itself. So for me, I definitely suggest Nioh 2 if you have nothing else to play aside from Animal Crossing, of course, of course.
Animal Crossing. Oh,
Hey, don't knock it, man. It's gonna sell big. I can guarantee you
I
that.
guarantee it will. It definitely will.
How about you, Keith? What have you been playing recently?
The season of the Worthy came out for Destiny 2, so I've been on that like crack.
I've been
But I
seeing
have
YouTube like
taken a
that, yeah.
couple of days off because the ongoing situation that we're having and more work being tossed at my face, and also trying to play the Resident Evil 3 demo on Xbox and more recently on PC. Oh, that is so glorious. I can't wait for the full game to come out. So good.
How's
I
your
also,
encounter?
go
How's your
ahead.
encounter with Nemesis?
Oh my God, that guy. Oh my God. Tyrant is a pussycat compared to this guy. He comes out of nowhere. He's fast. He's brutal. He has this movement like he teleports and gets right in front of you. And it's like, dude, get out of my way. And he affects other people.
Man, literally goes
So,
Omayemo Shinderu, just literally instant transmissions behind you. Oh,
guy is
crap.
like so much of a pain in the behind, but it's just so much fun. The demo's not very long. You can stretch it out. It's not like the first Resident Evil 2 remake demo where it was timed. This one you can do as much as you want, but there are certain locations where Nemesis will come out. You can reset him, but once you get to a certain point, it's over. So if you play it, first time playing it, maybe 20, 30 minutes. Then after you play it again, you get used to it. It'll probably take anywhere from 12 to 15 minutes. It's very short, but it's so good.
Okay. Not bad, not
Yeah,
bad.
it's a lot of fun. I mean, outside of that, I actually have not played it yet, Dragon Quest, but I will be playing it. I've had that for a while and I want to play it. And I also got
Ooh.
done watching the Dragon Quest Netflix movie, which is actually pretty good. Definitely check it out. Your Story. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's good. Which got me, like, what made me think, you know what? I have Dragon Quest. Why am I not playing this game? So, yeah, I'm going to be starting my Dragon Quest playthrough.
It's definitely a big time sink. So, and now we got the time in the world right now. So,
Well, I
yeah.
don't have. I'm still working. I work from home as well. So well,
Hey.
my coworkers are like, this stinks. I'm working from home. Like, well, I work home all the time. So, whatever.
Oh, hold on.
All right. So it has been a still, a lighter week in context, but there has been some really good news pieces that we absolutely need to talk about. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And starting off, we gotta get this out of the way. We do have some potentially bad news about the upcoming Smash Brothers DLC content. Masahiro Sakurai continued on with his Famitsu columns that he does weekly, and this one was about the coronavirus and how it could and has already impacted the upcoming Fighter Pack 2. So here's what he said. He said, quote, "Restrictions are also being put on business travel. It's particularly difficult to meet with partners who are far away. For example, Nintendo is headquartered in Kyoto, right? In this regard, it's quite difficult for us to visit other companies. In my case, specifically, I was scheduled to give a presentation to a publisher on our plans for a new fighter. However, the key parties were not able to get together, so it's been postponed indefinitely. That's not something I could fix, even if I could be in the office the whole time." End quote. So that right there, first of all, confirmed we're gonna have at least one third party character
KK.
in the next DLC pack. What are the odds? Second of all, that is kind of disheartening, but given that all the characters have already been selected, and no doubt some of them have already been worked on at this point, this would probably be character 4, 5, or 6, just a hunch. So not overly impactful, but things have been delayed because of everything, so that's still bad. And then, of course, there's the question of could this delay heavily the production of the DLC? And he went to talk about that. Quote, "And if we were to find out someone in the office has the virus, I presume all of our buildings would be shut down. If that happens, development would have to be halted entirely. There is a high probability of development not proceeding as scheduled, even if a new fighter was tentatively announced, end quote. So he's acknowledging that, you know, this could happen. I mean, the situation that the world is in, Japan has been infected with the virus, and I don't know how badly they are. I know it's not as bad as China, but still. And, you know, they're in a heavily affected area. So should someone in Nintendo who is still up and running right now get infected, that place would be shut down. All the development would be shut down on various games, which would be a huge blow to Nintendo Switch this year. And yeah, that would be bad. But again, right now, the worst thing that's happened is that a meeting for a potential new character has been delayed. That's not the worst thing in the world right now. Again, if this goes on a couple more months, then we have a problem.
So, oh, don't jinx this, but it's looking that way. Oh, boy.
I know, but I like to be optimistic about this, especially with certain steps that I'm hearing are possibly taking place. As long as we stay safe and we be mindful of our contact with humans, glares at people in Florida.
Gosh.
Yeah. What can I say? Life's a beach. Anyway, but if we do the right things, this can end quickly. It's fact. I mean, and we don't. And although the cure / vaccine would be nice, it's not actually a requirement to get better. As long as you are careful about what you yourself are doing with your friends, with your family, social distancing, you know, all that stuff. I mean, not everyone has to live a hermit lifestyle like I did. I've been social distancing for 2 years. All right, I'm perfectly fine. Okay, I got a gut. Not gonna lie. You know, mom's been feeding me a lot of desserts recently. It's so good, though. Anyway, so, you know, I'm okay, and I honestly haven't been affected. No one in my family has been affected, to my knowledge. So, you know, if you play it right and you are smart, glares at people in Florida again, we're going to end this quicker. But if you're not careful, you know, and you do stupid things, glares at people on the internet, you know, you deserve what you get.
You mean like licking toilets and stuff? Like
yeah,
that
oh
too?
My gosh, that girl, that one guy who's like, if I get coronavirus, I will get coronavirus. Why, I don't know why it sounded like Bill Clinton there, but whatever.
It's not like Mick Jagger in a way. Yeah, something
I did not have relations with that virus. I wanted to get me away from Hillary for a while.
The stuff like this just makes me question humanity's sanity. It's like, You can't be, you really can't be that silly or that dumb. You can't be. Please.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely. You, of course, naturally, everyone has to definitely be careful. And of course, some like to throw caution to the wind, sadly enough, because again, spring break, all that, yada, yada, yada. But we're going back to Sakurai's column. And sadly, yes, it will. This is to be expected that, again, everyone's feeling the pinch. My work just recently got locked down. And everywhere else, again, everyone's going to feel affected from the anime industry, from many different industries, and yeah, for Nintendo's no different. I mean, so far, I'm glad, like, Nintendo isn't as affected. I mean, like, not full-fledged halted or just stopped, like, completely shut down, so that's so far so good, but yeah, it's, like, don't expect any new information for the time being right now for new DLC characters for the time being, fans, because, like, again, I know you're thirsty. I know you want new characters, but for the time being right now, we have to face this pandemic, and we gotta all have to make sacrifices. Sadly,
it's like I can just see the fanboys that I will sacrifice. Why did I go? I went right to Trump. I did not mean to do that. I just did. Okay, listen to me. I refuse to believe that we need to sacrifice a single DLC character. All right, I talked with the FTC. They totally agree that not only is this vaccine gonna happen tomorrow, I promise tomorrow. You know, I'm calling it right now. We're going to have a Nintendo Direct tomorrow. I know people at Nintendo. We're going to have a Nintendo Direct tomorrow, and they're going to announce the first two DLC characters. Isn't that right, Mr. Bowser? No, Mr. President, that's not what we're doing. I knew you would agree with me. Thank you, Mr. Bowser.
Oh, guy.
Ooh, Bowser or Trump? What do you got against Bowser, man?
We had a conversation about that one character earlier today, didn't we?
No comment.
I hate that guy. I'm sorry.
It's okay. A lot of people do. A lot of people do. Anyway, but I know, again, right now he's saying that the only thing that's been delayed is meetings about certain characters, and that's okay. You know, that's out of their hands, but they can still work on the characters they have now, and You know, we don't know what exactly the meeting was about. All they said was that it was about, you know, laying out the plan for a new character. So maybe that was in, you know, like the prototyping phase. Like, hey, here's the moves we had in mind. I don't know. I honestly don't know the process of when it comes to working with a third party developer about their Smash Brothers character. So take that as you will. But I honestly think, depending on the situation, that they'll still go through with at least the first DLC character just to give us something. But then again, they could if we do have the Nintendo Direct next week, which we'll get to in a second, and they say like, "Hey, it's coming out in May," that's something, you know. It's like Joker. It's like, "Hey, you know, Joker is coming in April." You know, we waited,
I
we
mean, the fact
lived.
that, again, we have E3 canceled right now. They got, again, Nintendo isn't affected with the E3 showing. So, yeah, they could still pretty much do their own thing regarding to digital events
Nintendo's going to
or
do something
directs.
during E3 week. They're going to be like, "Hey, we're sorry E3's not here, but we're here. We're here for you. Buy our stuff. Make it print money." All right, moving on. We had a close thing to what we wanted. We had an indie direct
Was
this week.
it something that you really wanted? Was it a good consolation prize?
Well, here's the thing. Here's why I'm bringing this up. I think it was like last week or 2 weeks ago or whatever. I noted that there was a bunch of rumors going around that there was going to be two directs in March. One was going to be an indie direct, which I do count as a direct. It's just a different kind. And then the following week was going to be a Nintendo direct, like a pure traditional Nintendo direct. So we got the indie direct. Now it's up to Nintendo to say, "Okay, drought's over. Here's the Nintendo direct you all deserve." And as I noted last week, you know, I felt that the indie direct would come first because they would want to soften you up for when Animal Crossing comes out. And then once you've already bought Animal Crossing, then they hit you with the Nintendo Direct. And they go, "Okay, you just bought our other game. Here's what you're buying next." So, and sure enough, that we are now one half. We're one step closer. We're almost to the goal. And then we're going to get disappointed, I'm sure. But still, we got to have hope. So yes, we did indeed have an Indie World Direct, and Nintendo actually made some very interesting announcements, including some things that were a little bit blink and you miss it, like Blair Witch is coming to the Switch. Blair Witch Switch. That's very interesting, you know, because Blair Witch kind of came out of nowhere last year, and it actually got, you know, decent reviews. So for them to bring it to the Switch is going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. And then we had a couple of world premieres, including a Blue Fire and The Last Campfire from Hello Games. So that was interesting.
It's definitely like I was very surprised from Hello Games. Like again, they recently they're mostly known for the whole big issue regarding to No Man's Sky, which currently now is a great product. It's just again the release was kind of bleh,
It just took 3 extra years
pretty much.
after
But
release.
now it's a good it's a good product. No Man's Sky is good, so now to see them do the Last Campfire, which apparently it's very moving. It's like I'm getting reminders like very similar to like a Ghibli film, I believe. Yeah, like very Ghibli or like something similar to like Journey as well. The art style reminds me of that sort. Yeah.
And then there was like, if you noticed, they noted that a lot of the indie games that they announced are Switch first console exclusives. Like there's gonna be like a timed exclusive, and that was really important because again, the Switch has been really good to indie game developers. They've gotten a lot of sales over the years of the Switch's life, and that's very important. And so it's clear that the indie devs are like, "Hey, the Switch is like the hottest console out right now, so let's put our indie games on it," and they've got some interesting ones coming out.
That's definitely an interesting fact to point out. Like, the fact that most of these indie titles are Switch exclusive first, a timed exclusive Switch, which, like, part of me says, like, this is very good for Nintendo because, again, they get first dibs on these indie titles before everyone else does. On the other hand, I just can't help but feel okay, it's a time exclusive, so should I just wait for put it on my PS4, Xbox, or PC?
No.
Because
Obey
it's
your
just
Nintendo overlords.
so like, do you want to go get your Switch now, or do you want to get it on your other systems later? It's like I don't know. There's that natural debate, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't play too many indie games, but I am curious about some of them. Like I noted lastly, Death by Numbers. I'm kind of curious about that one because it's got a very Phoenix Wright vibe. And then there was like Summer in Mara. That one looked interesting. But kind of Wind Waker-ish mixed with Rune Factory and stuff like that, Harvest Moon. And actually, no joke, Tyler, our partying comrade right now, he made a tweet on the NEP Twitter handle at NEP Podcast, where he was like, "Hey, like this indie director is really good," and I just made a casual reference to Summer and Mara, and I didn't like do a hashtag or anything. I just said Summer and Mara, and then a few hours later, that developer actually liked my tweet. So, yeah, that was nice. I mean, so they literally had to search for like Summer and Mara just to see like who typed in the words, and they found me. So
Wow, nice,
that was really cool. So.
nice.
I don't know if I'll get the game, but I'm curious. Maybe you can reach out, Nudges Keith.
What?
like the new
What do you mean? Not just Keith. What?
Well, you're the boss. Reach out.
Well, let's talk about it off the podcast. How about that?
Yeah, yep, you hear that, Will? We're not getting in the game. Darn it.
I was gonna say off show, but you can't see us.
Whatever.
And yeah, like also another game that was like very quite interesting. Like, yeah, this welcome to this island full of anthropomorphic animals of birds, horses. And there's also another fact that I am dead, which that title, I am dead. Like, okay, that's a
Okay,
title.
I
That's a
can introduce
title.
you to another game called I Am Bread. Ever heard of that? There's some weird names out there, aren't there?
I can't wait for the sequel. I am so dead. Yeah. No, that one was interesting. And then of course the big kicker at the end, Exit the Gungeon.
Oh,
The
X, a good game.
yeah, the sequel to the hit indie title where guns are everything and life is much more than you realize. Yeah, and of course they did in true Nintendo fashion. It's already out on Nintendo Switch. So,
Which
oh, and
is
PC apparently.
Actually interesting because I kept asking him about that game because there was no confirmed consoles. I mean, we knew it was coming out for a PlayStation and Xbox, but I even asked him at PAX East, like, "Hey, is this coming out for the Switch?" And they're like, "We don't know." So either they
They
did know or
lied.
they lied to me.
They
Like,
lied.
thanks, guys. I thought we were friends. Thanks for that. I'll be sure to roast the next time I see them. Like, oh, so remember what you told me? You didn't know something, but you totally did. Thanks.
And right, like I believe, yeah. Last remember, I think we did indeed review Enter the Gungeon here on the site,
Yeah,
and
love that game. Loved it.
right, and so now they like, oh, tell you anything. Sorry, we not coming to Switch, and lo and behold, it's coming. It came to Switch. You liars.
So like I was just surprised by that because, Enter the Gungeon was a really big hit for indie games especially, and then all of a sudden it was like, "Oh yeah, we're going to do a sequel." It's like, "Oh cool." And then that's how they end the indie direct, and it's already out, so people can enjoy this now, which
So
is good.
it's actually interesting though because X the Gungeon actually was an Apple Arcade exclusive,
Really?
and yeah, it was supposed to only stay on there. And I guess that platform itself is not doing very well,
Shocking, not.
so they're like, "All right, we're releasing it everywhere else."
I mean, we all know that if they wanted to have it like be a really big hit, right off the bat, they shouldn't have gone to Apple Arcade. They shouldn't have gone to Nintendo Switch. They should have gone to Google
Stadia.
Stadia.
There you go. Man, everything that's going on Stadia is just dead. Just completely and utterly dead. They're not talking about it anymore. People are leaving like in flocks.
So,
Yeah.
Keith, I gotta ask you a legit question now. What's more empty, Google Stadia or a stadium?
Well, there's people working in the stadium, so I guess.
I would take that bet that they're not right now, because all stadiums are kind of closed.
Yeah, like you still got people that are cleaning up. You still got janitors and custodial.
Yeah. Ruin the joke. Ruin the
Oh, wait,
joke.
you forgot Keith Logical. Sorry.
Oh, boy, fine, let's just move on. All right, but anyway, hopefully by this time next week we will have a full-on traditional Nintendo Direct to talk about. Crossing our fingers, it's what all the rumors have been saying, so let's hope this is true. All right, next up from we're going to talk about a very emotional story called Pokemon Twilight Wings Episode 3. Just when you thought that this series couldn't get any more emotional, just when you thought the series couldn't make you feel for the characters you barely knew about in Pokemon Sword and Shield, they go, oh, now, get your tissues. So, let's set the backstory here, shall we, Will? In Pokemon Sword and Shield, your rival is a kid named Hop. Mm-hmm. Hop is a terrible name. Just saying. But, and Tyler knows this, he's literally screaming at the podcast while he's listening to this. Hop is a terrible name! It should have been Mario!
I can see I can hear his voice in the distance now.
Let's see. Or Sonic! We should have gone Sonic! Sonic's a great name for a rival! Shut up, Tyler. but, one of the things that really set Hop apart from other rivals is that he never started out with his, like, best Pokemon. Ever. Like, every time you're in a battle with him, either first off or tag team, always started out with Wooloo. Or its evolution. Like, every single time. And, again, this is a guy who's played every generation of Pokemon. It was, like, really weird. And kind of stupid. Because, like, yeah, I get it. Wooloo was your first Pokemon. Sure, fine. But, you know, you keep talking about wanting to be stronger, and yet you always keep Wooloo in your party. So what's up with that? And yet with Pokemon Twilight Wings, the episode is about Hop and his Wooloo watching his brother Leon, the champion, beat Bay, who we met in episode 2. And, you know, he's like, I gotta get stronger. I gotta watch these moves to get better. And even he admits that, you know, Wooloo isn't the strongest because he only knows tackle and defense curl. And Wooloo's trying to impress him, but he's clear he's only got eyes for Charizard. So what does Wooloo do? Wooloo runs away. Goes, my trainer doesn't care for me. So I gotta run away. And he meets Milo, who's the Wooloo herder, meets other people's, and then finds his tag, and he wants to take him back, but Wooloo doesn't want to go back because he doesn't think Hop wants him. Cut to Hop searching every which way but up, and almost literally, to try and find his Wooloo, and then when he does find him, he's like, I wouldn't change you, Wooloo! You're perfect the way you are! And they hug, and they cry, and it's like...
Erica Mendez really sold on acting on Wooloo. Fun fact, she's also Bernadetta in Three Heroes. And just like...
Three Houses.
Houses, sorry, thank you for the correction. Yeah, just like the way she's like meh, and just imitating that, like that animation of imitating Charizard, like that with the horns and the sharp teeth. Like, how can your heart not melt at that? And also try to like fly, like meh, boop, and, like try to imitate also flamethrower when seeing that flame manipulator is like meh. It's like, oh god, it's so bon fluffy. It's,
you can have a heart like mine. completely devoid of all emotions. There you go. Then you wouldn't cry.
Oh, jeez. You lack a heart. You're heartless.
It happens.
Yeah. Also, when Wooloo was writing that Corviknight, like, wait, it just sits up. Like, that Wooloo just sitting in the Corviknight seat is like, oh, God, my heart. I can't take it. I can't contain all these feels.
Do we need an ambulance? Like... You okay? 911?
And yeah, and at that end, I won't change it for the like meh. It's like, oh god, like, okay, cute Pokemon has always been like their Pokemon shtick. If it's a cute Pokemon, everyone will love it, whether it be like Wooloo or like, I don't know, even Mareep is like, oh, cute Pokemon, they're always gonna have a place in the fandom. And yeah, with this episode, it's just like, oh god, like this is better even than the main show. I feel on the main Pokemon show currently airing right now, like, yeah, just give the budget to these studios, and then yeah, just give quiet and boom, you're rolling in money, Game Freak. You're rolling.
And one
in
of the things that really impresses me, especially with episodes 2 and 3, one was fine, but it was a little too deep for my blood, but with 2 and 3, they literally told like a full story, an emotional story, in 6 minutes, give or take. And it was crazy because you're like, oh, I need a half hour, we gotta develop this. But when you have concise storytelling that just tells itself and you have the right imagery, it's perfect. And this is why I honestly got a little emotional during this episode, because it's like, you know, you see, Mareep, for the record, is still better than Wooloo. I will maintain that until my dying day. Oh yeah, Mareep rocks. Wooloo, I now find, you know, enjoyable, but Mareep forever. Anyway, there we go. Well, we need to get a war started: the Mareep fans versus the Wooloo fans. Which sheep is better? Anyway. And then you have like some idiot Go-Goat fans, and we're like, get the heck out of here. Anyway, but like that episode was just so good, because I had no feelings towards that Wooloo starting out. I'm like, oh, that's funny. It's, you know, imitating Charizard, and, you know, Hop's being Hop, and, you know, watching Leon because he wants to beat him one day, and blah, blah, blah. And then, like, you know, it starts going, and, you know, you see Wooloo getting all this trouble, and the Hop, you know, trying everything to try and find Wooloo, and then the emotional scene where he's chasing the Corviknight, and then they fall asleep together in the Corviknight bus. It's just like, you know, that's beautiful stuff. And, like, that's the kind of storytelling that makes me, you know, continue to want to write, because I want to have people read my stories and have those kinds of emotions after they're done. So, and to your point, Will, the main series, which just got done with Alola here in America, the last couple seasons with Kalos and Alola, they've done some incredibly mature storylines, like far more than Pokemon has ever done before since season one. Because obviously everyone thinks of the Butterfree episode or the Pikachu episode, the one where he almost leaves Pikachu. But like in Kalos, we had, Kalos, we had, you know, Serena, my favorite companion, going through her, you know, emotional breakdown and change in life, her kissing Ash, which was a good thing. Yeah. Okay. And then in Alola, we had the death of, who was it? Well, we saw a Pokemon like actually die, and it was very moving. And then, and I meant to mention this last weekend, the ending of Alola ended in the most unexpected way in the history of Pokemon. Like, Ash is gone, all right, we do a Rolodex of where all the other characters are, you know, very uplifting, very fun, and then we cut to Kukui and his house with his Pokemon, and he's right next to Professor Burnett, who is pregnant! Mm-hmm. I'm like, are you kidding me? They don't even acknowledge this stuff in Pokemon 9 times out of 10. And then, yet, with the last few seasons, they're like, you know what, these are mature watchers. Let's crank it up a notch. And so I'm calling it right now. If they don't name their kid Ash, you have failed this continuity franchise. So, but like, I love it. That's why I'm really enjoying Twilight Wings, because, again, now when I play Pokemon Sword and Shield and I see Wooloo and his evolution, I'm going to be like, yeah, I got you, Wooloo. I understand. I dig it. So. And then we have Mr. Vulcan Keith over here. He's like, getting emotional about
it's illogical.
It's illogical, Captain. You a green-blooded hobgoblin. But Spock, it's so emotional. Can you feel anything? Anyway. All right, moving on. Well, we'll keep up with the Pokemon news, though. If you've been paying attention to Sword and Shield over the last little while, max raid battles have been getting a lot more rare Pokemon, including a Machamp, Gengar, Lapras, etc., etc. And apparently they're going to be doing already Pokemon Company has launched a special, quote, Pokedex completion raid event in Sword and Shield. So basically, if you do max raid battles, you're going to find more and more Pokemon that you can't get in the other version of the game. So if you have Shield, you'll find more Sword Pokemon. If you're in Sword, you'll find more Shield Pokemon, like Ponita, Corsola, Oranguru, Mandibuzz, Sirfetch, Darmuka, Pysemian, Bravery, etc., etc. in these raids. So if you're trying to collect all your Pokemon, this would be a good way to do it. Gotta catch them all!
I'll say that again with the... Yeah. I would.
Gotta catch.
There's your next Pokemon, Achu.
Oh, jeez.
I'm pretty sure they're gonna use that name, Achu.
I'm sure they will. I mean, again, they made a bloody ice cream cone. It's inevitable. All right, next up, Animal Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, by the time you're hopefully listening to this podcast, Animal Crossing will have come out. However, there is some reports stating that if you got a pre-order via Amazon, you might be held back a little bit because with all the craziness going on with Amazon, which is understandable. This is a rare exception where it's like a delayed delivery is understandable because with all the craziness and, you know, the shutdowns and everything going on, it is possible your copy of Animal Crossing and Doom Eternal, which is also a Switch thing, but it's coming out later this year.
I was delayed. I'm so sad.
Well, hey, it's still going to come.
It may not.
As your host, I am the one with the most hope here. Although I have no hope that Tyler will say Mario correctly or get Celeste review done. But hey, we all have our limits. Anyway, so if you are getting it and you're getting it through Amazon, you may have to be a little more patient. And of course, like Will said, you could always get the digital download version, which is fine. So, and then apparently there has been some unique fan art going around of Doom Eternal and Animal Crossing switching places.
Oh yeah,
I love this part. I love this fandom. Two fandoms get together. Yeah,
I literally didn't see it till about 20 minutes ago, where you guys were talking. I was like, I should check IGN to make sure we didn't miss any Nintendo news. And I see Isabel standing over the corpses of demons and a Doom guy on a beach in like shorts, and I'm like, oh, that's what they're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, like these two fandoms, like even they're like talking on their Twitter, like it's gonna be a direct, it's gonna be Doom, which Animal Crossing, and like I'm gonna play Doom Eternal, and like it's just like the fandom of these two was just getting together because they're sold on the same day, which is not true anymore. But back then, like these two fandoms just were so wholesome. Even that the creators of Animal Crossing themselves acknowledged this fandom coming together, like, was very flattered by the artwork. Like, yeah, Isabel holding a shotgun. Like, do by teaching Isabel how to do a shotgun? Okay, hold on. All you need to do is the recoil, fire, and then, and then you see Isabel going off with a shotgun, ripping and tearing. Like, that's my girl. It's just so much nice art, animations, and just the creations from the fans. Like, this is what a fandom should have seen. Like, two great fandoms, two games themselves, like polar opposites, they can get together so nicely like this. Like, it's just so wholesome. Again, Isabel with a shotgun, can you imagine that?
Yeah,
there is a rumor that somebody is working on a Animal Crossing mod for Doom.
I'm not surprised.
Be surprising with the PC Master Race. I would not be surprised.
We do not cards on the PC Master Race anymore.
Anymore.
It is insensitive. We don't like it. There are some people that still say that, but a lot of us don't like that anymore. For obvious reasons.
We're going to Animal Crossing now. Like, I'm just seeing all these different things, and again, this is the perfect game to play down on a lockdown. Just the fact that, again, make your own island and just like do what you want, and just like, I don't want to think about all the bad things in the world right now. Let me just go to my island, just pick up some shells, talk to the villagers, yada yada yada. Just like live out your island dreams, which honestly, that sounds pretty nice right about now. So yeah, Animal Crossing. Time of this recording is running out now. Enjoying your islands. I believe on Twitter the producer of the game also said, like, I hope you're ready to take your flights. And of course, Animal Crossing over Twitter account is also saying, like, yep, we're just one few hours away. Hope you touch down safely on your new island. And
well,
of course,
let me ask you a question. I know this wasn't part of the agenda, but let me ask you real quick. What is the appeal of Animal Crossing for somebody who's never played one before?
I want you to imagine that you are a garganoid. Oh, wait, that's something else. Right. Sorry. Thank you, those that got that reference. Anyway, but no, think of it like this. I want you to imagine your real life. But imagine, like, you know, I don't want to do the real life. So you go and do another life. But this life is adorable. All right? You are building up your new life from the ground up, whether it's in a new town or on a new island. And you help shape the world in your own way by doing the little things like collecting items, you know, getting new tools, getting money, paying off debt. So it is like your real life, but it's just a lot more adorable and with anthropomorphic animals. All right? And I know it sounds tedious, but it's honestly very relaxing. You're just trying to live your best life here in Animal Crossing, and you're trying to have fun. It's like The Sims, but adorable.
Mm, Right, and we're going to yeah. Just I only played the original GameCube version, and the fact that it just sucked me in is like, yeah, like the little things. Like there is technically no goal. It's like in similar vein to like Stardew Valley. There's no technically a goal in the game. You just like make your village, make your town, and in this case, make your island. Like either you want to really upgrade, you can also you make your own goals. Do you want to upgrade your tent to a house? Do you want to pick seashells, make your collect the fossils for the museum? Like the Nook Miles thing is definitely you could make yourself a goal to follow to basically make your own things, but you don't have to as well. That like, you just basically do whatever you want. Fishing can do, just talk to the animals, talk to the villages, catch some bugs is like. Yeah, no responsibilities. And the fact that even Tanuk says, like, when you're going to pay your loans, there is no expiration date, no time to pay off whenever you want, no interest rates. Like, you know
So I
how
don't have to
appealing
pay.
that is,
So I
right?
don't
Like,
have to pay it, basically.
you don't have to pay off your debt. You could just, like, yeah, just live in your tent if you all you
Can I
want if
live
you
in that
want for
world? That'd be awesome.
it. Exactly. You don't have to pay your loans if you want to. There's no deadline. So the fact, like, yeah, like, this is basically our escape from the real world. Of course, like naturally don't completely throw away your responsibilities. But Animal Crossing is that game that, okay, I just want to like fish, enjoy my life, and also I don't know, maybe also see if there's something surprising. Because again, in Animal Crossing, there's always is something to do in that game. And for me, back in the original GameCube days, I just like do my rounds, collect some animals, collect my fossils, and like trim up my town for the trees, so it just be looks very neater. So yeah, again, it's just something you can do or not do. It's just like you have that freedom. So it's no pressure, no goals. It's just like it's you do you, basically.
So it's just a relaxing, casual game. All right.
Yeah,
Basically, basically.
it's very casual. It's very fun. But they also Nintendo is incredibly smart, especially in recent versions, where they always make sure you have something to do. Like it very much follows a calendar, so you're gonna have like special events and holiday things, changing seasons and all that. So they give you lots of stuff to do. Like when New Leaf came out for 3DS, they made sure that that thing was so loaded that there are still playing people playing it like 8 years later. Yeah, it's crazy. And New Leaf was one of the best-selling games on the 3DS.
Right, and like going and now that like the custom codes, the QR codes they can do on the now you can bring it over to the to New Horizons, so all that work is not lost. I mean, I actually retweeted Matt Bozon, the creator of Shantae, actually brought back his old QR code of Animal Crossing of Shantae to for the public. So if you want to like get all these nice designs, then yeah, those things you could put them in the in New Horizons. So yeah, all those hours you put in New Leaf, it can be brought over here as well. So yeah, and that of course if you have amiibos also helps out as well.
And for all of you who are like, well, but is it good? I mean, we all remember like those spin-off games of Animal Crossing that weren't that good. I could put your fears to rest. The earlier reviews have come out, and just about every one of them has like 9 out of 10 or higher. All right. Even IGN didn't go 7.8 too much Animal Crossing. All right. They gave it a 9. I thought it was wonderful. They apparently the start of the game is a little slow, but once you get over that little hump, it's apparently like one of the best Animal Crossings they've ever made. Like terraforming the island is apparently very addicting. So if you want to, shape the island how you want, by all means.
Right, and
So.
building your path just basically shape how your island looks to the point is like yeah, you can really make it on your own. Like make how to make it as like a cityscape or like a little natural time. You could the customization is off the charts. Yes.
All right, so from uplifting news to make you happy, or to for Keith try and find understanding, to a story that all of us go, wait, what now? GameStop.
Oh,
Really?
God. Yeah. Now let's rewind a week, okay? Last week we were talking about GameStop because of Reggie Fils-Aimé, who had gotten a new job with GameStop as one of their board of directors, though it should be noted, to be clear, he has not been officially brought on board as of yet. His term will start in April, which is good because this would have been a terrible first move for him had he been a part of this. Apparently, GameStop has been telling employees to keep the stores open no matter what, despite what all the government is saying about, lockdowns and, restrictions on certain capacities in stores. They apparently don't care. So they're keeping it up. Keith, you're the one who told us about the story, right?
No, but I am aware of it.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on all this craziness?
This is, can I say asinine? Am I allowed to say that?
Sure,
yes.
Sure.
That's a word.
It's totally asinine. The fact that they don't care about their employees, they don't care about the customers who can come into their store and possibly be contaminated. All they care about is the bottom line, and I'm appalled. This is ridiculous, and everybody should boycott them because the way they've been going over the past couple of years, and now this is ridiculous. We're in a pandemic here. We have people that are getting sick every other minute or so. Every state in this country has been affected by this, and other countries as well.
Of
And you're
course.
telling people, hey, keep the doors open. If the police come, tell them we're essential retailers. We have to sell games. I'm sorry.
Yes.
What?
Oh, it gets worse. I'm looking at a new article right now, and apparently GameStop has declared themselves quarantine immunity
What?
they are, quote, essential retail.
Right.
Right,
What I just said.
right.
But
We just said
yet
that.
they don't sell any they don't sell toilet paper. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Milk, water. They sell nothing to keep you alive. Nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, arguably, games may be essential, but technically, we can also live without
I
it,
don't even
right?
think my GameStop sells candy anymore, so.
I remember those times. Yeah, I actually remember those times. Yeah.
So,
But,
what?
yeah.
Yeah.
It's just really crazy that, again, one, you call yourself essential, kind of stretching it there, GameStop. Like, yes, gaming's are our life, it's our livelihood, but when it comes to a pandemic, you really need to go and determine, which is better, my games or my life? Yes, I know gamers can be crazy, and yes, we'll just do everything to get our games granted, but when it comes to, a pandemic, especially of this scale right now, maybe you should not think about the money right now and also think about your employees. I mean, heck, even reduced hours would be much more better picture for you right now. Even I don't know, close at 3 o'clock, that would be a much more better image. But
Yeah.
no, you just have to no, you have to like no again,
You just
no
have to
hand
show your
sanitizer.
greed.
Right, no hand sanitizer, no soap. Workers are airing their grievances on Reddit is just like GameStop, what are you trying to do? And honestly, Reggie, if you are indeed the force of good, if you are the last hope of this ship, please, in April, turn the ship around. I hope you are our last hope. Help me, Reggie Fils-Aimé, you're our only hope.
In our other podcast, I had mentioned him joining GameStop, and I was like, maybe he can turn this company around. And then I read about this stuff today. I was like, you know what, Reggie, you need to bail out now.
I
It's
liked
me.
your first thing better. Maybe he could turn this country around. Yes, he can.
That'd
He
be
can
awesome.
turn this country around.
That would
And
be interesting if he was
he'd be
president.
like, he's like, and if you don't believe in my plan, what's wrong with you? My body is ready to help this country. So,
We definitely need it. How
yes,
about
we do.
that?
And then if we need it, he has his Trump card of going to Reginator mode.
That
So,
he does. That he does.
he does.
And yeah, also just briefly as well, because GameStop actually. At time of recording, they released it Doom Eternal on Thursday. They actually changed it to separate from Doom and Animal Crossing sales. So apparently, they chose to decide to sell Doom earlier today and keep Animal Crossing separate in order to quell the crowds. Which
Because that's
that
totally going to
kind
work. Because you're not, instead of having 100 people in a store, we'll only have 80. Hey, that helps.
And apparently, that was the thing that kind of I don't know, GameStop was the in. Basically incurred the divorce between Animal Crossing and Doom, but again, that's fandom for you. But yeah, GameStop, yeah, don't be such prudes, don't be such greedy pigs. Just care about your workers, have some humanity, or are you just
It's
so
just
whole soulless
crazy.
and husk?
This is exactly why you guys are going down the drain and fast. Every time somebody's like, oh, maybe they'll do something good. Nope. Nope, they do it wrong. Keep going, guys. Keep going. Keep digging your graves.
Okay, shall we talk about something better?
Yeah, what you
Yeah.
got?
Okay. We got one more thing, and I brought this up for a very specific reason. All right. Overwatch, which
Oh
is a Switch
boy.
game too. All right, they have announced their next character 32. Her name is Echo. Now, Echo was introduced in the Ash reveal video where McCree saves her from Ash, and it was very cool. Now, apparently, Echo can take the form and powers and even the ultimate of other characters. Am I getting that right, Will?
Yeah, that is correct. I
okay, so just to be clear, she is a mimic of all the other characters, or as I like to call her, an Echo Fighter.
I gotta say, I am not a fan of Blizzard's approach to that character. That's just a cop out. I hate those kind of characters.
Yeah, it does seem a little weird to me. I on a certain level I could grant it. I but maybe if they like had it to where she could copy like one ability from each character, that would at least be something special. But if it's just like, oh, I'm gonna copy that character on the other team, why wouldn't you just play that character?
It's definitely when you explain it that way, it definitely feels like a cop out. Like, oh, like we're not gonna make a new unique character. Like, or like, yeah, I would appreciate if they had Sojourn, like the other one you played in the newest event. Yeah, Sojourn would have been nice. But with Echo, when you say, like, yeah, I could take another form abilities and ultimate of another character in my team, so I'm going to have to deal with two Symmetras, deal with two for the temporary time being. Like, I can make reality anything I want to be. Like,
exactly. That's the quote. I don't think they thought this through whatsoever. When people start abusing that, they're going to go, wait a second, this isn't good. But for now, yep.
What you gonna do? Alright. So, for our main event tonight, we're gonna do something a little more lax. You know, no heavy debates or anything. We're going to try and help you. Yes, you. The person at home. Or people at home. I try not to judge. I was gonna go deeper joke there, but I'm gonna stop. So, we're in a quarantine, basically. And whether self-imposed or forced or whatever, you know, you're going to have a lot of time on your hands. And if you have a Switch, or, we'll be fair, other consoles, which apparently exist, except Stadia, we don't mention that. Unless we're making fun of them. Then we mention it all the time. So you have a lot of games to play. But which one should you focus on with all the time you have here? We're going to discuss this in a meeting of the NEP Secret Society. All right, I call this meeting of our secret society to order, and here's how I want to play it. Haha, get it? Play it. Each of us are going to talk about two games that we feel would be a perfect use of time for this abundance of freedom that some of us have. Not me, apparently, because I have to work. But for all of you out there who now have free time to play your Switch for hours on end, what games should you play? So, I'll go first, and we'll do this one game at a time. I'm going to do this, and I'm picking this game because Tyler's not here. I'm going to tell you about Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
I had a feeling.
All right. Despite Tyler's very false and illogical feelings on the game, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is one of the best RPGs on the Switch, especially when you combine it with its expansion pack, Torn of the Golden Country. This game is a standalone, so ignore the number 2. It's a standalone game, and it tells this very deep story. It's very RPG, it's very anime, especially when you look at the characters. But its world, its lore is deep. The combat system is very intricate, and the fighting system is very fun once you get the hang of it. And it's challenging, you know, and that's why Tyler really doesn't like it, because he didn't learn how to get good and everything. And, you know, is it a little slow to start? Absolutely. But as you go on, it just gets deeper and more fun. And, like, but when I got to, like, I think it was, like, chapter 3 or 4, it was, like, insanely deep. And then by the time we got to the end, I'm like, what is going on? But, like, in the good way. Not like the, what the is going on? Exactly. So, and then with the blade system, of, you know, you getting all these potential fighting partners to deal with, and from the generics to the specials and everything, you have like this way of playing a game so many different ways. I could literally start today, clear my data, and have a completely new way of playing because of the blades I summon, you know, via the cores that you get. And this game is long. Like, I beat it in about 60 hours, and I was honestly kind of rushing because, as a good employee of the Outer Haven, I try and do my reviews within 2 weeks of the launch. And so I tried my hardest to get everything done that I knew I had to so I could do my review. And I did. And I even got in trouble with some of you because I apparently put an end game picture at the end. How would you know it's the end game if you didn't look at it already?
And now you're spoiling other people that it was an endgame picture. And now you're spoiling everyone else, so it should be blamed on you.
And it wasn't that revealing. When you put three characters together in a picture, it's not the most revealing thing in the world. Well, I mean, it could be, but it wasn't in this case. I was in the right. Anyway, so but this game was a lot of fun. I was really looking forward to this when it came out in 2017. It totally lived up to my expectations. I gave it the accurate gaming score of 4.5 out of 5. It's still one of my favorite games on Switch. I look forward to Xenoblade Chronicles 3, should they make it. And this is just a very rich world. And so if you have, you know, 60-plus hours to spend via quarantine, I would highly recommend Xenoblade Chronicles 2. And I can hear Tyler go, no, it's a lie. Get me on the podcast. I must tell you the truth. I am the truth, Tyler.
Oh, boy.
I am the host.
Yeah, that is definitely a good choice. Like, given the arguments, I really should get back into the Chronicles 2 just because, yeah, there's just so much content in the game. Again, the world is vast. Even for the small little area of maps, it is so vast and just a lot of things. Like from the side quests, from getting the blades to the blade unique stories. It's just the world sucks you in from these titans. It's just, yeah, it's a lot to do. The story's very engaging, just like the twists and turns. Of course, the blades it's so much unique personality in these characters. And of course, arguably the voice acting could be here and there, of course, naturally. But yeah. Again,
that's just JRPGs. All right, let's be honest, that's just JRPGs.
I mean, yes, Pyra, Mithra, Tora, and Cutie Pie in her forms is it's anime. It's anime. Sure.
It's anime.
True that. Yeah, with Xenoblade Chronicles 2, you're going to get bang for your buck. And just how much hours. And, I mean, yeah, I probably wouldn't want to compare this thing to very similar to Persona 5 in some sense. Just like the fact that there is just so much to do, maybe even more in terms of content. And plus, again, as you said, with the golden DLC is just, yeah, that's extra hours right there. So if you want to
20 at least.
Yes, so if you want something really bang for your buck, then yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles, you will get your hours. And definitely, in a time of quarantine, I think this is the perfect game for it, yes.
All right, Keith, what is your first game to recommend during this lockdown we are in?
Well, it's not exactly a full game, but I do recommend everybody who's a fan of Japanese role-playing games or JRPGs to give the Trials of Mana demo a try. Now, the reason why I recommend this demo is actually pretty beefy. Each playthrough will take you about 2 hours, maybe three, depending on how fast you play through it. And you're able to play through with all of the main characters. So I think it's like six of them. So 6 times 3 is 18 hours of gameplay on a demo.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty beefy. I'm enjoying it. And I've never played the first Trials of Mana when it came out on Super Nintendo way back in 1995. But I was a big fan of Secret of Mana. Oh my god, I love that game so much. So I'm actually enjoying this demo. So if you like Japanese role-playing games and you like cutesy-style graphics, a really decent combat system, and a somewhat decent story, give the demo a try, because it's free.
Yes, free on Switch and PS4. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And yeah, I know they recently had the Sword of Mana, but that I heard some remakes, the remake decisions was kind of like iffy on there. But yeah, Trials of Mana, it's yeah, just like the character designs. Like if you know the Mana series, then you pretty much know what you're getting yourself into. And like the fact that like the different characters, they intertwine in each other. I guess I can say it's very similar in a sense to Octopath Traveler, just how they meet up and then in Trials of Mana, they actually interact with each other.
Yeah.
And how the storylines cross over with each other. So and I heard the Trials of Mana regarding to the combat system. Again, it's not turn based, it's much more it's very active.
Yeah. It's really decent. It's a good example of it would be the Final Fantasy VII remake. It plays like that. So you're able to tell your characters what to do, give them their own strategy, real-time attacking, switching between characters, switch up the use of magic if you choose to. It's very interesting. I like it. I didn't think I would. So my problem now is Square Enix has Final Fantasy VII. Wait, when is that coming out again? Final
Fantasy VII comes out April 10th.
And Trials of Madness is April 20th.
Ooh.
Yes. That's bad. They know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing.
Let's be honest here. We all know Final Fantasy VII is going to get delayed. It's inevitable. You know it.
It was almost. Actually, Square Enix released a statement because addressing coronavirus, and they did say they will continue to keep with the April 10th release date. But naturally, with the whole virus, there may be some delays. So, but they're still going with the release date. But who knows? You never know. You never know.
All right. So, Will, what is your first game to recommend?
Ah, man, and I know I made a promise not to talk about this game before.
If you say Skies of Arcadia, so help me God.
Well, I'm betting it's on GameCube now, and that would actually be a good time sink, granted, but that's not actually the game I'm about to talk about.
Okay, if you say Senken Kagura, so help me God.
Oh, actually, maybe
you're
going
dare.
To some titillating. I can't. And not to go all meta regarding to the whole pandemic, but I think this game is like really kind of a good parallel to what we are going through right now. And I'm going to have to go with Death Stranding on this one because...
Oh, like, I thought you were going to say The Last of Us, to be honest with you. That's more of what we're going through.
I mean, we don't have a zombie apocalypse yet. I mean,
do we? I mean, infected. Points to Florida.
Give it another week.
But yeah, for me, Death Stranding, like, yes, there is a story there, and technically you can finish it in a limited amount of time. I mean, you probably a good solid week you can finish it, sure. But the reason I suggest Death Stranding to play during quarantine, because one, like, let me be real for a moment, because again, like, there's still people working in this pandemic right now, from the workers, porters, grocers, nurses, doctors, they're still working their jobs right now to help keep us safe, which, again, nothing but respects to them. And we're going to Death Stranding. I guess it is, yeah, a lot of people basically call it is the Amazon Prime Simulator, but in a sense that this age of like disconnection, like we actually have to be socially disconnected right now for the sake of safety. But there are still people that have to make deliveries. Again, your postal service, you do good jobs now and then. Like, but in this type of crisis, I only have much more respect for you. Back to Death Stranding. Like, again, playing as Sam Porter Bridges, playing as Daryl Dixon, and like delivering. Just the one thing I like about Death Stranding is, again, it's you are feeling isolated, but at the same time, you're not isolated. Like, it's just like that blank ghost town, that blank world of like this is nature, and there's like no one else, and everyone's talking holograms, and the only people that you really meet is like few and sparse. I mean, like with the current world right now, and like the story itself. I mean, granted, with Hideo Kojima stories, it is a bit meta and old and downright definitely confusing, but. Like, again, the main theme of Death Stranding is basically making connections when you can do, even if you feel that you have to disconnect yourself. And regarding to playing with Death Stranding, this thing, I mean, it's just, yeah, you're delivering packages in basic game, right? But again, you're basically helping, saving lives. They're going to help a doctor, help a parent in need. It's just, like, you're doing something so simple. But at the same time, it also has that same profound effect. And like regarding to, I guess it says like the reason I suggest Death Stranding is because it basically is the reminder that there are good people in this world. Like I don't know that old Fred Rogers quote. He always says like in times of disasters, oh, look for the people that help. They always look for the good in that's happening in the world. And well, like delivering packages, helping out a nurse. Like, it kind of gives you much more respect for it. So, while you're in quarantine, helping out, delivering packages, you also can help out other players as well, like building bridges, building zip lines. You're basically helping other people as well. So, like, wrapping it up, I know we're going too long, but, like, basically, Death Stranding is, like, in a time of isolation, at times, like, yeah, just the world is going to crap. But know that you are not alone. That's the main takeaway from this game is basically, like, when all things is failing, you know that you're not alone. There will be connections you can make in this world when everything just seems to be going wrong. So that's why I suggested Death Stranding.
Okay, well, I think you kind of over-elaborated on that, so allow me to prepare, to dumb down Death Stranding for you. You are an Amazon delivery man, all right? And you're trying to make your delivery when the world is struck by the coronavirus, and you savor those little moments when you deliver the package and people are actually smiling at you and not killing you for, you know, being a few days late. There you go. That's Death Stranding.
Until you reach the ending, and then there's a whole lot of metal.
It's Kojima, so that means literally nothing. It's
I'm actually
Kojima.
Looking forward to that game on PC.
Oh, yeah, what? Yeah, that's coming to PC. Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right, back to me. Now, I could have easily gone Fire Emblem here, because that's another game that could have taken up a lot of time.
Right,
but
I'm
going to go a little left field, and I'm going to say Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Okay.
Now, you might think, wait a minute, why would a fighting game be... you know, a game to really pass the time? Well, there's two reasons. One is World of Light. This is a very deep and very fun battling tabletop kind of game where, you know, every level is its own challenge, and you're trying to, you know, get certain characters and get certain power-ups and everything so you can do certain things as you advance through the world. It's really challenging at times, especially when you adjust the difficulty level. So you could spend, like, tens and tens of hours, you know, just doing that. And then there's this little thing called online, because you say, like, oh, I can't interact with people. That's why you have online, all right? Like, get online, get with your friends, use Discord, use Twitter, use Facebook, use Skype, whatever you want. Get, you know, five of your friends together and just spend a couple hours playing Smash Brothers. Wallow in the fact that you just plain suck compared to your friend who is...
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me. Like, Tyler, for whatever reason, is actually really good at Smash Brothers, and he kicks my butt and Will's butt a lot when we used to play together, which has been far too long, Will, I'm just saying. But, you know, get together. Join a room. In fact, you know, if you don't have a lot of friends who have Smash Brothers, go find a room with some other people. There are tons of them, and I bet you with the quarantine going on right now, it would be even more filled with rooms of people just trying to have fun playing Smash Brothers. You know, test your skills, build yourself up, find that character that you like to play as, jump into a room, go fight, you know, for fun, go fight for glory, go fight for Asgard. Oh, wait, that's someone else. You know, just let the battles fly. You'll be surprised. Sure, maybe most matches only last a couple minutes, but when you play, you know, 20 matches, that's an hour. And you're going to be like, no, wait, I can do it. I need one more match. Give me one more win. Oh, but now I'm on a winning streak. Come on, we gotta get that. No, my ranking isn't high enough. We got to keep going. You'll spend hours just doing that. And then you'll have the hype in you. And so now it's like, okay, when can I jump into Smash Brothers tomorrow? You know? Like, I honestly haven't played Smash Brothers in a while, but I want to because I haven't tested out the recent DLC characters, and I have the fighter pack. And so I'm hoping that once I finally beat Pokemon Shield, I'll jump back into Fire Emblem, jump back into Smash Brothers, and just have fun because Smash Brothers is truly an ultimate title. And, you know, you should have it. You should be like one of the like close to 20 million people who have bought it in just over a year. And you'll see that the community is like ready to battle you. So go spend the time, do a little training, do a little World of Light, have a lot of fun, get all the characters, find the one that works for you, and then just go battle the world, you know? Because right now the world's battling you and trying to get you sick. So it's time to fight back!
Right, and also finding toilet paper as well, yes.
Yeah. It's like we were talking about eBay earlier. We should talk about how, like, if you actually have a few extra rolls of toilet paper, you should sell it for like $100. I could do that, and I would still be fine.
Well, actually, I'm not sure if it's real, but actually there was, like, some toy in a crane game, so...
I'm not surprised. Yeah. I'm not surprised. All right, Keith, how about you?
Oh, boy. There was one game I was going to recommend, but then I changed my mind. I don't think I would recommend this game right now because it's very grindy. I will say Dragon Quest. Dragon Quest. And the reason why I say that, because I talked about it in the beginning.
Hold on. Which Dragon Quest?
Dragon Quest S.
Okay, just, I mean 11S?
Yes.
Making sure.
Because I played this on the PC not long ago, because the PC version was not very good, believe it or not. And the Switch version came out, and they basically fixed everything that was wrong in the PlayStation version and the PC version.
Wow, that's hilarious when you really think about it.
Yeah, they fixed the music and everything. And I had put in a solid 10, 12 hours in the PC version. And then I stopped. And as I said earlier, I watched Dragon Quest Your Story when I was at PAX East. And I must have watched this movie like 3 times so far. It's actually really good. It's on Netflix. If you guys have access to Netflix, give it a try. You might like it. The ending of it is actually an interesting twist. But getting back to the game, I've always liked the Dragon Quest, Dragon Warrior games. I used to play those back in the day on the Nintendo, and I kind of missed them. So I've reconnected with Dragon Quest. And I know it's a time sink, Will, but I'm going to play through it because it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, you can easily get hundreds of hours. Like,
yeah, I know. That's the problem.
Past. Yeah. Like, I granted, yeah, Dragon Quest XI is like is definitely the game that's like packed with content. Like, on grinding, also forging, side quests, and also like character developments. It's just like there's so much things to do in Dragon Quest. Like, that's why a lot of people revered it as like even better than Final Fantasy, just because like one, it pretty much has everything. It's a game that actually can make you smile. Just because one of Akira Toriyama's artwork of Dragon Ball fame, and like of course the voice acting is top notch. The storyline can be comedic as well. It's just it's a game that never fails to make you smile. I mean, in similar veins of Animal Crossing, again, it's a game that makes you smile from storylines to even the suggested lewd scenes of the poof poof. And it's a game that's like very lighthearted and also at the same time serious as well. So yeah, Dragon Quest, hundreds of hours right there, and definitely a perfect time for these kind of periods. Yes.
All right, Will, what do you got?
And this one, I'm actually surprised that none of you suggested. And this one, it's like, this game also you can also stretch out to 100 hours. Last night, I think you can as well. For me, Breath of the Wild, honestly.
Oh, like, yeah, Breath of the Wild.
Because, Breath of the Wild, I mean, sure, arguably, if you want to do a speedrun, sure, you can do that, but that's up to you. But Breath of the Wild, I mean, this game, you can take a long time, especially if you're going for the completionist route, if you want to go for whole Korok seeds and all that. Like, Breath of the Wild, it's the first time I played through this game, first time around, is like, yeah, I just want to, like, know the world, just see what I can do, and see what's going to get me killed all along the way. The
guardians will over...
Yes, lightning will get you killed. The rain will get you killed. The snow will get you killed. Is like... Yeah, it will kill you relentlessly, no doubt. But at the same time, you're also discovering the land of Hyrule. Like, going to the first time going to Kakariko Village and then finding my first Korok seed, getting, like, basically grinding, getting materials, getting swords. And also just, like, knowing the world of, like, the four main regions from Zoro's Domain, from Gerudo Desert, from Riddle's Tower, the Riddle Village. It's just, like, there's just a lot of exploration in this game that... Like, I gotta give props to Nintendo. Like, again, for just like one general giant map, it is huge. You could easily spend 100 hours. Like, I still remember, like, even going back to a little bit, doing the Battle of Champions DLC, like, I'm still discovering, like, oh, I need to go here, I need to go there. Even when you, like, review it on your map and see your the path, like, the your footprints on the map is like, oh, there's still one zone I haven't explored yet, or I have to go here, that, and then, like, discover something new. Like, I think you know at the back of your hand, like, oh, there's something spot here. Like, there's just that sense of exploration in Breath of the Wild. Like, you can easily lose yourself. Like, sure, you can go focus on the main story, defeat the four champions, defeat Ganondorf in the end, but there's just a lot of content for what it is. Like, yes, granted, it may not be up in par like Dragon Quest or like with Trasmano or any of the later titles like Xenoblade Chronicles 2, but for game like Zelda, and then just expand, like, have this giant sandbox and just do whatever you want once you get off the Great Plateau. Like, I can definitely see myself losing another 100, like 80, 60 to 80 hours just like exploring the lands. And you could just like horseback riding, like cooking. There's just a lot to do in Breath of the Wild. So, like, to wrap up, like, Breath of the Wild, Zelda is just really a game that explore, you can do whatever you want. Sure, you can go to the main missions, you can speed run if you want to, but in times of like quarantine and long periods right now, Like, I just want to explore the Pyro and, of course, like, get the Master Sword. And, of course, this is probably the best time to go prep up for Breath of the Wild 2 if you haven't played Breath of the Wild yet. So, if there's any good opportunity right now, yeah, familiarize yourself with Breath of the Wild first and then get ready for Breath of the Wild 2 whenever that comes out. So, that's what I suggest for Breath of the Wild for a quarantine game for this period.
I kid you not, Will. When I was thinking about games to talk about, I honestly forgot about Breath of the Wild. So it happens because there are just so many games to play, and like other ones like Rapid Fire that you can also play. Mario Odyssey, there's a lot of content
Oh,
there. Mario plus Rabbit's Kingdom Battle, Octopath Traveler,
Oh, yes, Octopath Traveler,
Super Mario Party. You can get some things out of that, especially if you're quarantined with, a family. Let's see, what are some other ones? A
And
Mario
Splatoon
Kart.
2. Splatoon 2,
Splatoon.
naturally.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Come on, there's no more than that.
I mean, yeah, even with my recent game time with Nioh 2 and yeah, Grancy, even Overwatch, yeah, Overwatch you could definitely spend
Yeah.
some hours in if
Yeah,
you want to go
you
competitive,
got
of
third
course.
party games, Astral Chain. That was 25 hours for me. So
Yeah, like granted, because with Entertainment, like the main story itself is kind of generally short, but again, the after game content, like the after battle missions, you can easily stretch out a few more like extra hours there. Yes,
So,
yes.
in short, the Switch has been out for 3 years plus now, and there's been a lot of content. And hey, what about the indie games? You could spend $50, get a whole bunch of indie games, and that'll last you for days, depending on the titles you get. And there are some really deep indie games out there. So, look at the eShop and see if there's any good sales.
And
So.
also, yeah, I forgot to mention as well, like they Switch currently has The Witcher 3 as well, and you can easily sink 100 hours
Oh yeah, I
because
forgot Witcher 3.
I
So.
actually saw my brother recently finish his game, and it's like easily 130 hours tops. So yeah,
Jeez.
Witcher 3 on Switch, yes, you can actually, yeah, Witcher 3 on Switch easily can sink hundreds.
So, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, there is a lot to offer on the Switch. So, I know that it's really hard out there, and our reports we're getting is, it's going to get harder, and it sucks. We've all lost things. Like, if everything had gone to quote plan, I would be hours away from waking up and heading to a big Comic Con, a Comic Con I had never been to before, and spending 3 days in Missouri, ha with a friend, having fun, and meeting some really cool people. But it got canceled, and now I found out today that another one of my cons I look forward to every year, it got canceled because there's just no guarantee that things will be better by the time comes around, and that's really sad. But you gotta look for the little things that'll make you happy. A TV show that you love to watch, a Netflix binge that you haven't gotten. Disney Plus. Now is the time to embrace Disney Plus. This is the way.
Yes,
Before.
I was about to say, yeah. If you have not seen The Mandalorian yet, do yourself a favor and watch Mandalorian. Yes.
I've got Baby Yoda right next to me, courtesy of our dear Outer Haven coworker Sarah. Thank you, Sarah.
Am so tired of Baby Yoda.
Too bad. Too bad. This is the way. Anyway, so but and of course, video games. So, I know it's hard out there. It's, no jobs for some of you, or limited jobs, or quarantine. Some of you are sick, and our hearts go out to you. We wish you the speediest of recoveries. But things will get better. It will take time, and it will take effort on all of our parts, from, social distancing to self-quarantining, or just quarantining in general. These things do work if you follow the rules. Glares at Florida. And, these video games can help take your mind off things, even if it's only for an hour. Like yesterday. Yesterday, I spent like almost 2 hours reading 11 comic books. Yes, I'm a slow reader at times, sue me. But I enjoyed every single one of those comics, and it meant something to me. And then when I was done, I'm like, okay, what do I do now? And I had some things to do, thankfully. But, use these video games as your escape route, as your, emergency exit, as a certain clown prince of crime would say. Video games are your emergency exit. So.
And yeah, like I just want to quickly borrow a quote from The Last of Us. Like it actually does mean true. Like when you're lost in the darkness, look for the light. Believe in the fireflies, or in this case, believe in video games.
I thought you were going to say believe in the giraffe, but okay.
Or yeah, look for the light. Believe in the direct that's coming soon. Or that too, too. That too. That too.
No, giraffe.
The giraffe,
I
really?
said.
The giraffe, really?
That's like apparently the most beautiful scene in The Last of Us is the giraffes.
Really? I mean, granted, but really?
What am I missing here? I know that everyone talks about the giraffe scene.
I don't know.
Am I just misinterpreting? Because everyone talks about the giraffe scene. Everyone, like, she's petting
I mean, it's a
giraffes.
nice scene, sure, but like, it's not really. I mean, again, that's. I mean, sure, the giraffes are nice. You see them out in pasture, and it's like, city nature taking over. But I wouldn't say it's like the main highlight. I won't say arguably like the main
Wow.
highlight.
Everything I know is a lie.
Wow.
No, the last site I used to work for, and I know we're gonna end the show soon, I promise. But the last website I worked for before Outer Haven, we did like the Game of the Year awards, and when Last of Us came out, it obviously won. And the person who made their video took like a clip of the giraffe scene, and he goes, and everyone talks about how, if you don't cry during the giraffe scene, you're not human. And I never played Last of Us, so I don't know the context, but like everyone I've
I
heard
didn't
talk
cry.
about Last of Us talks about that bloody giraffe scene.
Oh, the
I
hell it
didn't
does.
cry.
They walk up to the giraffe, they pet the giraff.
It's a
Yeah, and
moment!
I
I
didn't
have a
cry.
dog. I pet my dog every day. What?
Okay, let's just. Oh, wait. Though, before we end this, and I know Tyler's not here, but we did have a poll question last week, and it was, with E3 2020 being canceled, will we get E3 2021?
Yes,
And
unfortunately.
hold on, and the final votes were 61% said yes, it will return, and 35, or sorry, 38% said good game E3.
I
So,
mean, they've already said that they're already working on plans for the next one, so it is coming.
well, everyone says that, but like then things happen, and it's just like, yeah, we lied.
There's too much on stake for them right now for them to do that.
Now that I can understand. All right, so with that, we're going to end this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Let us know what you think about the possible delay to Fighter Pack 2 on Smash Brothers. Did you watch Pokemon Twilight Wings? I almost said Pilot Wings. Yes, did you watch the new Pilot Wings
That
series available
would be
only on the.
awesome.
That would be awesome. Let's just be honest here. If Nintendo even did like a Twilight Wings thing for like their other series, they would be raking in the dough. I'm just calling it.
Oh,
Like
sure. Breath of the Wild,
Breath of
Zelda,
the
definitely. I would love to see a
Wild,
series. Yeah.
like Fire Emblem stories. Like imagine a original Fire Emblem like short series, like stretched out over like 50 episodes, like 5 minutes each. It could work, and then like that's a year of content right there. So anyway, let us know about Pokemon Twilight Wings, and if you cried or if you were like Keith the Vulcan over here and like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. What was your favorite part of Indie World, and are you going to get one of those games when they come out? Are you getting Animal Crossing? And of course, what games are you going to be playing the most during this time of quarantine? Let's just be nice. Do let us know, and if we hear some good things, we'll talk about it next week. So, for Koopa Keith, Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We have made to the end of level, so raise the flag.